Sarah Robinson sat in the soft sand, hugging her knees and watching the sun creep farther toward sunset. The waves of the lagoon were so calm, the absolute opposite of her pounding heart and trembling hands. She took a deep breath and tried to relax. Everyone else was gathered at the camp under the monkey pod trees, but she needed a quiet moment away from their commotion, not to mention the unspoken fear. Less than 3 days had passed since an unexpected and sudden typhoon had killed their skipper and wrecked the HMS Moonflight, marooning Sarah and the others. She figured it would have been much worse to be alone. At least she had her dad, John Robinson, a widower since her mother died when Sarah was 6, and Ahab, the skipper's now orphaned Newfoundland. She wasn't that thrilled about their other companions, Ivana Murillo, her stepmother of barely a month, and her new stepbrothers, Marco, 12, like her, and 10-year-old Nacho. She sighed. Honestly, who she was with didn't matter all that much, because this brief time on the island, the sun would soon set on their second day, had been more than enough to make it abundantly clear that there was something terrifyingly wrong with the place. Creepy, weird, sinister. There were so many other words running through her mind that would totally apply, given the things that had happened so far. The first day, Sarah had gone for a walk with Ahab. She hadn't believed it at the time, had even wondered if her lack of sleep and the hot sun had conspired to play tricks on her, but a kangaroo with lion's claws had bounded down the beach in front of her. Certain that no one would believe her, she hadn't told anyone. But then her dad and Marco went foraging for water. When they returned, her new stepbrother confided in Sarah, telling her that he and her dad found a small abandoned house in the forest. Inside the house, Marco saw a strange red bird that didn't seem to exist anywhere in the bird book from the boat. Marco's admission made her wonder whether her kangaroo could actually be real. Around dinner time that first day, an awful wail echoed around the island and went right inside Sarah's head, vibrating throughout her bones. The sound rattled everyone, and she'd been relieved when it finally stopped. As if that wasn't bad enough, after they'd gone to bed, circled up around the fire, an invasion of enormous coconut crabs forced them to scale the monkey pod trees, where Sarah spent the rest of the night, alone. As today dawned, they made plans to avoid another night with the coconut crabs, deciding to sleep in a cave that Sarah's father had found. After lunch, they were in the midst of packing for that move, when the sky had dripped red, and a bizarre orb appeared, chasing them into the cave. As they huddled inside, Sarah added up everything and knew that something was wrong. She tried to get Marco to tell the adults about the red bird and the other weird things he'd seen, but he refused, saying they weren't real, that he'd just made them up. She was so mad at him for making her look stupid in front of everyone. Later, Marco tried to make Sarah understand that he had lied to the adults in order to keep his mother and brother from getting even more stressed out. But she was still not over it. When they emerged from the cave, Sarah was relieved to find the orb gone from the sky, but then came a scream. They hurried down to their camp and on the beach found an unconscious girl. And that wasn't all. Next to her was a scrawled, half-finished message in the sand. Again, at the same time as the previous day, the sinister wail started up. Remembering the moment sent a chill up Sarah's back. She turned her head to gaze at the spot on the beach where they'd found the girl. She got to her feet and then trudged over to the words, "Beware the sea." What did that mean? At first, she had thought the sea was the start of the word crabs because of the terrifying coconut crabs. But what if it wasn't? What if there was something else on the island they had to be afraid of? Sarah shivered, and not because she was cold. A wave licked at the bottom edges of the letters. Another followed, slurping away more. Then another, and another, until the tide had swallowed the remains of the words. The next wave covered Sarah's feet, and she stepped out of the cooling water, backing up the beach until she hit the deep, soft sand. Ahab nudged his wet nose into her hand. She picked up her flip-flops, then turned and let him lead her toward the fire and the others.